So I'm going to present my proposal for a Euroshark. Of course, inspired, we had last year here in the discussions about a Eurostack at Potsdam, and it then had a very strange career. It ended up in the German coalition treaty by surprise, but not only the Eurostack, but also the Deutschlandstack, and both of them were like empty boxes. No one really knew what was exactly inside. The Eurostack discussions inspired us very much, and they took a bit of a twist of bi-European, which personally I have my difficulties to endorse. I'm more for open markets and global collaboration, and even by American, I cannot take this seriously. Sorry about that. So what's a Eurostack? First of all, yeah, I made a nice logo, and it's a friendly wordplay on the Eurostack. I didn't want to piggyback on the various proposals that we have, and it's a kind of workshop idea of let's create some plans for what we can do in order to promote open source and create some capacity in open source. Because previously there were some discussions here about different organizational models and how to reorganize the community. That's very nice. Last year on the OFE mailing list, I think I had an interesting experience. I scribble often some plans, and I was scribbling some plan for the Fediverse. I'm not so much into this community, but I wrote a plan, and then I got very nice feedback from people who were working on alternative social media, and they gave me lots of input. And I think there's a need now, independent of the organizational setting where it takes place, to think about plans for what shall we do, and when we get the funding, and what can we present as an inspirational idea, as a project, in order to get some funding. Yeah, it's a wordplay on the Eurostack, of course, but friendly, yeah. And it's also, the word Czech is a tribute to this world of legendary investor world where we have the garage and the shacks where people just do their stuff, yeah. In essence, what should come out of it is like a collection of plans where you can have, okay, whatever your organizational settings, I've prepared here something for you. This is a project you can do in your new setting. And I must admit, so far I worked very much on the curation element of all of this, which means like the basic ideology, so to speak, like the questions that always get asked and where I thought it's better like to answer them before we get into these discussions over again, which means the decisions I've taken, how to describe things, why we don't want to do Airbus projects, etc., needed to get written down to be a base for discussion with which you can disagree, of course. The objective is also lots of discussion last year, digital sovereignty. Maybe it's better to talk about agency, yeah, which is, here we have a definition, that's nice to start with something concrete, the ability of individuals, organizations and public authorities to actively shape, manage and control their use of digital technologies and services. The older ones of us remember the four software freedoms, but that's very much specific to free software. We can take this more generally to a digital ecosystem, and then we have digital sovereignty. We can also frame digital sovereignty in a broader picture of, territorial sovereignty. It's still current with Greenland, energetic sovereignty, Russia, I'm just mentioning, and of course, technological or digital sovereignty, our ability to control the software and the hardware that we have. So just to put it together, there's the fundamental spirit, and this is the Frugal Manifest that I've taken as inspiration. It's a bit similar to what in the open knowledge context came with like the tech we want. So it puts a framing where one also talks about like creative use, about ecological effects of coding smart, doing more with less, and applying open source principles. And what's important for me also, open plus practices. because in the end, we have like this open source where a government contractor provides source code, and in the end it's released as open source, but we are not using actually the benefit of open source collaboration, like using GitHub, development in the open, and so on. And I thought it was, and I talked about ideology, I thought it was also very helpful to write it up, to explain to others what constitutes an important element of open source communities, how we collaborate together, and this was important for me, global focus. This shouldn't be something where you just have, where you just say buy European, and we don't even care if it's open source or not. But more like our focus should be like to strengthen the global collaboration and ecosystem, and make sure that it's open, so can be exchanged, the interesting business models can flourish, and build this Euroshack. The Euroshack both is on the one hand like the set of plans that are about to be developed, but at the same time also like the creative workshop and the creative process for making this happen. The idea is to define these blueprints for scalable open, and this is important, scalable open projects. However, and that's the point with scalable, there should be a backstop. Like, we make a project proposal, but in a way, it already exists. So everything, every funding that goes into it leads to, I'm perfect in time, just use half of the time, that's nice. So we have the backstop of something that already exists in a way, so we don't have to, we don't have a risk. This is very important in the political field, because say when you come with something like, okay, Europe should get its own search engine, then sounds like, okay, the French have again the crazy idea to combat Google, and this costs them 300 million, but they will not succeed. And politicians, they don't like to invest in projects that will not succeed. I think an open source ecosystem gives us already a very nice environment where public money that gets funded for such ideas will lead to a growing of the technology stack. And so even if the project as such fails, you will have a contribution to the overall thing, and it will be something good. So that's important for me to prevent like this fear. Because, and this is also something I address with the Euroshack, when you're into EU policy discussions, in the EU treaties we have the objective of competitiveness. And competitiveness as an ideology basically is we side with the strong party. We support the strong party, so we strengthen our own strengths. And this, in my view, has led to the shortcoming in the digital field, because we always said, oh, it doesn't make any sense to compete with Microsoft, etc. So in Europe, yes, there are some small, medium enterprises that have interesting solutions, but they cannot compete with the market share that they have and the capital, etc. So let's ignore these European companies and competitors. So this whole idea of competitiveness, which is so enshrined into the European policy making, in a way discouraged supporting of challengers and investing in challengers, even if they don't succeed in the market, just for leveling the play field, for creating competition. Because there is a very distinct difference between competitiveness and competition. Competition, you compete with each other, it's what businesses actually don't like, and competitiveness means we are the market leaders, we're strong in it. And of course also in the political sphere there's always like this tendency side with the strong party. If you're doing politics, regardless of your party, you always have to like follow the more powerful people in your party if you want to make a policy career. So this is a bit of often political twist that we have to challenge when we want to change the funding infrastructure for open source. And last but not least, the question is, if we make plans, what to focus on, what to work on? And I put out, I think, three general components. One is the Digital Market Act was created with like the notion of very large companies, gatekeepers. And these gatekeepers in the area of core platform services are regulated. So what does core platform services mean? You find a definition in the Digital Market Act. It's something like search engines. It's something like operating systems. Very foundational things, payment services. This is a core platform service, okay? I will very quickly close down. And then we also have class one and two of important products with digital elements, very similar in the CRA. This is something we can use. And I guess we also need to do something about like the basic work desktop, for instance, office productivity software, LibreOffice, etc. Yeah, operating systems, communications and collaborations, video telephony solutions, security solutions, basic AI and data analysis and cloud infrastructure and specialized applications. So just to give you an example what these kinds of plans could be, I have two examples. One is like, let's have a European gaming console, yeah, and think how to build this with open source. And then we can think about the components. So this doesn't mean like we pay lots of money for Linux graphics, but this will involve in the course of creating this gaming console. We can also say backstop, we already have SteamOS, so there's something that already exists and that goes into this direction. The other point, HPC desktop, you know what HPC is. HPC means basically supercomputers. All supercomputers are Linux machines, and they are these projects with 400 million euros spent on a supercomputer. So in this context, we can also say we need client equipment, and that would be an HPC desktop computer. And if you have like these big funding instruments with, I don't know, 2 billion on supercomputers for Madrid and for Paris, then it will be easy. Why not get us 10 million in this umbrella for making a Linux desktop specifically for researchers? And this is what we will work on, these plans. I will get out the basic document and everything on the website, but this is, yeah, sorry, more or less a preview. Sorry, yeah, if I took too much time. That was...